This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I decided to... How's your bracket look, real quick?
First year that I did not do a bracket.
Oh,
since
interesting.
God knows how long, and 12-year-old Joe, 13-year-old Joe, he's thoroughly disappointed. And that's one of those things that I can't have happen again. That's like, you know, I'm dying inside, and I'm becoming old, and so therefore I'm not finding joy in the things I used to. And that's something I just can't let happen. Me not doing a bracket, that is a moment where it's like, Joe, you're better than that. Don't become an old man that doesn't care about doing a bracket. Come on, be better.
Yeah, my bracket's toast. But
so technically, my bracket is perfect.
But I will say this.
I'm 0 for 0.
I, at the place that I drink frequently, I got roped into a women's bracket for the first time ever. The stakes are... The winner gets a beer paid for by everyone else, and there's like 6 of us, okay?
Okay.
So the stakes are 5 paid for beers.
So it's not a beer bet. It's a beer bet.
Correct. Going into the Elite Eight, I had 98% correct predicted bracket.
Wow.
98%.
Damn, bro.
You. I think Warren Buffett should have cut you a check for that one.
Oz, whatever that dude's name, Oz the Mentalist.
And the only things that I had missed 2 4-5 matchups.
Yeah.
I had missed 2 8-9 matchups, and I missed a 7-10 matchup.
This is why you wanted to talk about the bracket.
And then, little do I know, because I don't watch women's basketball, but I ran into a buddy at A-Lane, and he was like, dude, just pick chalk. So I picked chalk, but I had a big upset in my bracket. I took UConn over USC.
Oh, boy.
Woo.
And then Juju went down.
And
UConn won.
UConn ended up, I was going to say, did I misread something yesterday? No, so, I definitely saw the last 13 seconds of that game yesterday.
So currently my bracket is like 92% correct.
Well, good for you, bud.
Yeah, right?
Pretty, it's looking like you'll sick. Be getting
I'm gonna
yourself.
I'm going to get some beer.
Beer, beer. I think that's 6. I don't know. Congrats. Good for you. That's
yeah.
why you wanted to bring this up to give yourself, yeah, a humble brag. Brad on the back.
Nah, we ain't taking that.
That's how we do it.
I did something that I'm
Mr.
quite...
Mr. Woman's b-ball expert over there.
I'm quite proud of yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm kind of proud of, but also somewhat disgusted and ashamed of myself with. That is non-sports related. It is food related.
Ooh.
The girlfriend and I, I didn't make dinner last night. I was hanging out with Joe Fisher Jr. And he's
Joe Fisher the second, Joe Fisher Jr. the third.
He's a talker. You know him. He's a chatty Cathy. And he held me up, so I got home, and I didn't have anything for dinner. So she's like, let's just get something. And I'm like, well, let's get some burritos from old Taqueria El Burrito.
Well, you know I love burritos.
And I brought these burritos home, and they were the size of an infant. Like, they were...
Usually, when you were like, they were the size of, I'm thinking, you know, like... Secretariat horse style, if you catch my drift.
I mean, an infant is still, you know.
Yeah, how hefty are we talking
like,
here, bud?
I held it up
the
to my
size of an infant.
Yes.
I thought you meant like infant eat.
At first,
like
I thought you meant small.
The size of a human infant.
Wow.
Like,
oh,
I held it up to my forearm. I'm not even kidding you. From wrist to elbow.
And it was all rice and beans in the top, meat in the middle, and sour cream and pico in the bottom.
No, but their full job made it so that way, like, one bite was all meat and rice, and then the other bite was all vegetables. So I kind of had to do some shifting along.
Yep.
So I ate the whole thing.
Just
and it was definitely... Like, towards the end, I was huffing and puffing, and I made it go down. And
getting higgy with it.
The girlfriend saved half of it for lunch.
Well, yeah, that's what you do with giant burritos.
Yes, but I was determined to finish my burrito and drink my medio litro of Mexican Coke, which is the
bigger
one.
Well, while you can, before the tariffs make those, like, $8.
Yeah, seriously. I think it was really, like, $5 also. On
yeah,
top of
the tariffs head. Might already be in force.
Yeah, and then I was curious. I was like, well, let me weigh her half burrito, because I have a food scale.
Ooh!
I was like, let me see what
a food scale.
Yes, not just a scale. A food scale.
A food scale. Yes. Yeah.
It wasn't,
food grade.
It wasn't one like a triple beam or anything like
that.
Or
like one of those scales used for college activities. None of that.
Well, it was digital.
Cut my life into pieces. This is my last.
Cut my burrito into pieces. And so I was like, let me weigh her half of a burrito because I'm curious how much this burrito weighed. Her half burrito weighed 14.7 ounces.
No way.
Put it on the board.
So even if we round down to just a clean 14 ounces, it is safe to say that I ate a 28-ounce burrito last night.
Just in the bottom of your stomach.
And I was shocked. I was appalled. And like I said, I was disgusted and also extremely proud of myself.
You should get on the scale.
18-year-old Joe was very proud.
You should get on the scale before you eat the burrito.
A human scale, not a food scale.
A human scale, not a food scale. You might break it. Get on the human scale right before you eat that burrito.
Dude, I'm so mad I didn't do that.
Check the number and then just destroy that burrito. Don't poop yet. And then get on it. And see, and then poop and get on and give me a boom, boom, boom.
That's going to be like a Randy Marsh size poop there.
8 Keurigs.
Thank you. Yeah.
I
10 and a half Keurigs.
That is, again, I was shocked, and that thought came into my mind, I think, later at night, like I was laying in bed and I was like, gosh, I should have weighed myself beforehand and after I ate.
You're just like
burrito.
Lying in bed.
Yeah,
you
I was like,
feel
oh
like,
my God. I was like, what is it? Robert Baratheon. Just give me something for the pain and let me die. Like, it was bad.
Just Jabba the Hutt in your bed.
Oh, dude, it was, yeah. I don't know if my girlfriend was attracted or disgusted in me. Like, she kept giving me looks, and I was just like, do you want to do something right now?
Nom, nom, nom.
Are you into this, or?
Sup, baby.
I don't think she was into it at all.
Get yourself a girl that looks at Joe after he's had a 24-ounce burrito.
Dude, I 28.
28 ounces. What's that in pounds?
I think 24 ounces is being conservative.
What is 28 ounces in pounds?
I thought a pound was 16 ounces.
Pound is 16 ounces.
Dang.
So, I mean,
so almost two.
You're almost a two-pound burrito.
Jeez.
Somehow adds 5 pounds to the scale.
I'm like, oh, my God.
Somehow.
Well, add that water weight. You start to swell up when you eat that burrito. So.
And again, and the medio litro Coke.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Oh, and that's so just liquid.
It was like, what's the planet that Luke lands on, that Yoda is on? The
Dagobah.
Yeah, that's what was, it was a bubbly swamp in my gut. Dagobah.
Dagobah.
Yeah. By the way, have you ever done that, though, where you've jumped on the scale before taking a poo and then jumped on it after?
No. I jump on the scale every morning as I'm trying to, like, fix this body.
Yep, still no progress.
I do it after the poop and the shower. Oh, that's okay. When you're supposed to know your true weight is in the morning, after you poo, after you shower. That's your true weight.
Well, I definitely have done that at least once before. And Joey thought it was hilarious when I reported back to him that
you jumped on the scale, then pooed.
Because I knew it was going to be a thing. Yeah. I was like, dude, this is going to be a monster.
Speaking of Randy Marsh, is this the Bono poop that you like spray to keep alive?
The P.F. Chang's poop. Yes, it was one of those where, and when I told him afterwards, he just started dying laughing. He's like, did you really weigh yourself before and after? I'm like, yes, I did. And I just lost a pound and a half.
Son. Take notes.
Yeah. This is what being a man is like, all right?
Have you ever taken the Cleveland Browns to the Super Bowl?
Well, your dad just did.
You ever dropped the Cosby kids off at the pool? Can we still say that?
I'm not sure
we can.
I'll tell you in the break. Yeah. I don't think I should explain it.
Yeah. Just move on. Fair enough.
Oakley Doakley. Well, we got a baseball show for you today, my friends.
Yeah, we do.
Not much going on. Dude, not much going on.
My vibes were immaculate Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then I come into the office yesterday and I hear Ryan Cooley's voice talking about the Yankees and MLB vibes just instantly tank. Yeah, I was like, oh God. I was like, I just now realized.
You walked into work full midnight and then went to six. Instantly. Well, he is a Red Sox fan. That's a little tough if you're a Devers guy.
It like dawned on me. I was like, ah, crap. I got to listen to this for the next 6 to 7 months. Ugh.
So we do got a lot to get to. We'll do Fair or Foul, everybody's favorite at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. We'll check in on some news and notes around the league. Things you've seen, some initial reactions. We got a steroid user. That was a gift from the baseball gods to just kind of drop on us.
I might get popped for steroids after eating that burrito. They're like, dude, that's
awesome. The Mexicans in the Willamette Valley are just stuffing you with HGH.
They're like, that is not okay what you just did. 80 games for you.
But where we start? We start with torpedoes. Is this DOS boot? Is this World War II? Like, what are we doing over here? The new sensation that has taken over the league. We'll go there first. That's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris. Jordan Schultz on the ones and twos. This is the Hot Corner. Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. 716 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. 503-864-6326. That is the Fan text line. They'll let you interact with us throughout the entire show. Harass us. We love it. I got Cleveland San Diego on my tube. Joe, what you got on yours?
Cleveland San Diego.
Oh, you're rocking the same game.
And stepping up is the Wazoo Portland Pickle legend himself, Kyle Manzardo, who homered on opening day.
I don't think there is a single player to ever walk the face of the earth that encompasses Patrick Harris more than Kyle Manzardo.
The mustache.
He's got a bad mustache. He went to Wazoo. He played for the Pickles, and now he plays for the Tribe. I'm in.
I'm expecting Manzardo jersey to show up at any moment this season.
I feel like I have to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like I have to.
Yeah, just hopefully
he's not even like my fifth favorite player on the team.
I think you got to play it out and make sure that he's good.
I did pick him up in fantasy.
You know, I'd maybe wait a month or two, you know, see what happens. But, not a bad opening day. I haven't really kept track of what he's done for the rest of the summer.
I was in high school or post-high school, I can't remember when it was.
Did he just go? Oh, no, it was pop out.
I had a... You're ahead of me, I think. Yeah, you're ahead of me.
I totally fell for the in-stadium. Oh!
Depth perception.
Yeah.
I had a Jody Garrett jersey. You ever heard of Jody Garrett?
Jody Garrett.
Seattle Mariner legend Jody Garrett. He actually retired in spring training with the Mariners because he, quote, lost his passion for the game.
Oh, well, we saw that in Cleveland when he was our top prospect.
I'm not surprised.
Is that one of those Seattle Mariner legends, like a Portland Trailblazers legend?
That's exactly like he never played an actual game for the Mariners. He showed up in it with a spring training contract and then quit.
Sort of like a Blazers legend, Festus Ezeli almost.
Yeah,
he was one of our top prospects, and I bought a jersey, and he was terrible. I wonder whatever happened to that jersey.
I think the only jersey I've ever owned was Jason Witten. Not bad.
I have a Frankie Lindor. I don't own it currently anymore. My wife owns it. She wears that to bed. And I'm not going to lie, it's kind of hot. She puts that on, and it just says Cleveland Indians on the front. And I'm like, and I'm always like, where did you get that Indian? Then she turns around, I'm like, Frankie. Am I having sex with Frankie tonight or you?
Do you yell Frankie's
Both?
Name?
Both.
Back and forth.
6-4-3! 6-4-3! Just yell right there at climax.
You really turned it fast last night, honey. Damn.
Damn! I ain't nobody seen.
Almost too fast.
That ghost tag was just incredible.
Well, I know I didn't get on base.
Wow.
Your on base percentage is zero.
I'm glad you hit a home run, because I sure didn't.
Can we up the slugging percentage, maybe? Speaking of, have you heard of these new torpedo bats? Maybe that would help me out.
I got a torpedo bat for you.
What up, baby?
That might be, you need to see a doctor if it looks like a torpedo.
That is definitely probably true.
What is going on?
You should not look like a torpedo.
It looks like a bowling pin. What is wrong with you?
That being said, that's where we are going to begin this show today. The wave that is now sweeping around. And before we get into, like, what the torpedo bat is, its effect on the league, etc., before we get into the real stuff, you gotta love Yankee haters. Like, Yankee haters are out in droves. Oh, if it wasn't the Yankees, Major League Baseball would ban this. I got a buddy I was just hanging out with, diehard Dodger fan. Like, annoyingly diehard Dodger fan. Like, you don't have to rub it in my face that your team is amazing. Like, we all know this. He's screaming F San Diego after they beat him in the playoffs last year. We're like, yo, dude. He's like, anyone from San Diego, you're a bleepity bleepity bleep.
Yeah, we know. You guys in their stadium, in your stadium, throw stuff at their players.
God,
we know.
We got it. We got it. He goes, I think it's absolute BS. And me and the bartender were like, if your team had it, you would call it great innovation. He was like, no, I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't at all. I would say it's so dumb. So I love that it was the Yankees that first came through on this, because obviously it gets everybody's pajamas tight.
Well, and it's
now they're so mad because they think the Yankees are cheating.
Yeah.
And that Major League Baseball is giving them an advantage.
I mean, listen, if there's one team that you want to have use this first, it's the Yankees. So they can be the sacrificial goat that just gets absolutely slammed for this and everybody calls a cheater. Then you
pull I'm telling you, if it was the Dodgers, we'd be like, that's just
God. Baseball. They are just they're doing
just
it again.
Ahead of the game. They're doing it again.
God, they're just the Dodgers. They
deferred contracts. The best players in the game. Now they got new bats. Wow, just amazing.
With that being said, though, is that as soon as you pull up a list of who is using the torpedo bats, I mean, the team that is using it the most or has the players using it the most is the Yankees.
Yep.
But there are a lot of other players using it.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. And we'll get into that now. I mean, the torpedo bat is basically, it has been deemed legal by Major League Baseball.
And I was saying this from the beginning where I was just like, people are like, can they do that? I'm like, I'm guaranteeing that the Yankees, who are worth billions of dollars, did everything possible to make sure that this was legal.
This isn't trash cans in the hallway leading to the clubhouse, okay? No. This is, we checked on it. We figured out what we're doing. And for those of you that are listening that aren't familiar with the torpedo bat, I'm sure if you're listening, you've heard about it. What it is, it's basically they're redistributing the large part of a bat, okay? So if we're using science, the bat starts thinner and grows, she said.
You lost me at science.
And near the top of the bat is the largest area of the barrel. And what the torpedo bat is doing is it's kind of shifting that in different spaces along the bat, depending on who you are as a player. It's not a universal bat. It is designed specifically for each player. So if you are a, you know, Anthony Volpe using it versus, you know, who's a smaller, more contact hitter to a Aaron Judge. Now, Aaron Judge is not using it, but I want to use him as an example, who is more of a power hitter using that full length of the bat. They move that to where you normally make contact. And the idea is actually kind of genius. It's actually kind of smart. The fact that we haven't got here already is a little mind-blowing now that we see it.
Yeah, let's put the mass of the bat in the part where people hit the ball
where you hit it the most. It's genius. Yeah. It's absolutely genius. my initial reactions on it are, okay, so the Yankees had some people that figured it out. But once I heard about the torpedo bat and started, like, researching about it, I already saw a quote from Bryce Harper who was like, yeah, we talked to management. We ordered some. We're going to check these out. So the baseball is a copycat league. So, okay, maybe the Yankees had an advantage for spring training and the last month of March. Okay, but everybody's going to catch up on this. And I love the quote from Aaron Judge, who basically said, 3 years ago, I had 62 home runs. I think I'm okay with my bat. I don't need a torpedo bat.
I am the torpedo. Be good.
Yeah. You know, so it's not one of those things where everybody's going to go to the torpedo.
I don't know. He could hit. See, I hear that, though, and I'm like, you could hit 82 with the torpedo, bro. If you're healthy, if you're clean.
I don't know. I don't know. I still think it's kind of like golf.
If you're clean, are you making accusations?
We're not doing this.
I'm not saying. No, I'm not trying to say that. I'm not saying that in a way to accuse
him. You heard it first. Schultz thinks Aaron Judge is on the juice.
Good Lord. Saying in general. Would make any player that's clean and healthy better.
From A-Rod.
Come on. It's like if you gave it to Melky Cabrera on steroids, he would have hit 50. That's not what I'm saying here.
But I think what's interesting, and this is why I'm like so fascinated to see how this all plays out. I don't think that it is something that every player is going to take. Aaron Judge is the best example. He wants that traditional heavier bat. The barrel, the full barrel all the way through. He wants that because look at how many opposite home runs he hits in Yankee Stadium. That short porch, he wants the bat to be full-sized near the edge, near the end. You know, to where guys like Jazz Chisholm or Cody Bellinger or Anthony Volpe, they want it more in the sweet spot because they're more traditional hitters. Aaron Judge can kind of spread it around the field. So he wants that full. I think it's just like golfers. It's like my pitching wedge does this, and that's what I love, and that's why I'm going to stick with it.
You know what this does remind me of, though, is when dude started using the axe handle.
Exactly.
I mean, it's not, you know, it's different in the sense of like
Mookie Betts uses an axe handle.
Yeah, but and this is different in the sense of like the axe handle gave you better grip and better like wrist hinge and swing through and everything, whereas this is giving you more pop and more essentially more power and exit velocity and making the ball just absolutely get crushed. I mean, we saw Ellie De La Cruz, he used it for the first time this season. And had an insane stat, like 4 for 5, two homers, 7 RBIs.
Just looked up his line today. You want to know what it was?
I'm going to guess a complete regression, 0 for 3.
Well, I know Nathan Eovaldi threw a complete game
shutout. Yeah, 1-0.
Yeah, 1-0, and let's see, how many hits did the Reds get? 4, but none of those were his. He went 0 for 4.
Before, what I want to get into next is I want to get into the impact of this, how we see it. Do we agree with it? Do we disagree with it? There's some great quotes that are kind of like stupid quotes, but also kind of true. There's a lot more to get into this, and I want to do that next. But the reality remains is there's something that is extremely important to know about being a hitter, no matter what your bat is. And I'll tell you that next. This is the Hot Corner. Before we do that, I'll throw it over to Schultzy with sports.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If we get to it, Joe mentioned, you know, there's more updates on the Portland baseball situation.
I do want to read this text, though, and we kind of touched on
it. I haven't even looked at the text line.
Yeah, it's all good. Someone like, and again, just like reading this text in the tone and voice that I got, it's like, it's a pretty simple concept. Move the barrel mass more towards the handle so dudes who are more prone to getting jammed don't get jammed anymore. I love how, I mean, you and I did it in the segment, and then the texts are like, I don't know why we didn't think of this. It's like, the Yankees had an effing MIT physicist work on this, and we're all like,
they made a movie about it.
And we're all just like, duh. It's like the
I can't believe I didn't think of that. I'd be a billionaire right now. Only I would have invested it in Zoom stock in 2020.
The MIT physicist is just sitting there like, dude, are you serious right now? I spent weeks working on this. Well, pretty easy idea, bro.
Duh, idiot.
You spent too much time, clearly.
Life is like a box of chocolates.
Yeah, I don't think we need to get too far into the weeds just to, like, highlight that this is supposed to be, like, the same feel as the bat these players have been swinging their entire lives. That takes more than just a couple of days of engineering, right? Like, making the end... So we're talking about taking the weight from the ends of the bat that aren't used in hitting and pushing them towards that sweet spot. You still have to even it out to make that bat feel normal. Like, come on, this is not as easy as it sounds. That guy's an idiot.
And that's kind of where...
General idiot.
That's kind of where I want to go. Like, I've got some quotes that are interesting, but I'm curious from you guys, like, your initial reaction. What was your initial reaction when you saw this? I kind of already shared mine. Was it one of, like, this is BS, this is the Yankees trying to get an edge, blah, 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 or is this more of like a, well, okay, this is just new innovation?
Well, it all happened pretty fast. Like, Saturday is when everybody found out about this, really. The Yankees hit.
And they put up 20 runs?
Yes, yeah. This is when it happened. It was,
also, the Brewers look kind of bad.
Yeah, it's not going great. But yeah, I feel like Saturday is when, I mean, unless somebody heard about this Friday or Thursday, whatever, but I feel like Saturday, that Yankees-Brewers, was a early morning game, started at, I don't know, 11, something like that, 10:30. Three home runs, first three at bats, first three pitches, four home runs in the first inning. They scored 20 runs, and everyone's like, damn, okay.
Can we put an APB out on Nestor Cortez?
Yeah, poor guy.
Oh, boy.
He has had a rough last few outings. Like, if we want to move back to last,
I don't want to derail, and we'll get to this in the 8 o'clock hour. But who's got a worse life right now, Nestor Cortez or Raffy Devers?
Yeah,
it might be Nestor Cortez.
I mean, the Milwaukee media is a little easier on players, but I don't know.
But so that happened, right? And then we hear about the torpedo bats, and I think the initial reaction is like, dude, the effing Yankees,
right?
That is the initial reaction from everybody. It's like, dude, of course, like, the Yankees are the ones that figured this out and started using it, and they're going to cheat their way to scoring 20 runs a game. And then very quickly after that, oh, no, this player's using it from this team, and this player's using it from this team, and this player.
Just didn't hear about it.
Like, yeah, and it starts to come out that other teams and other players are using it, and then it quickly became, okay, this is actually something that – and that's also what I'm curious about. Like, did players hear about that on Saturday and immediately call up, what is it, like, Marucci or whoever the
whatever
bat
the dude is,
the bat manufacturer, and like, dude, get me one of those now. And then before we knew it, Elliot Dale Cruz and Adley Rutschman. And now, granted, there are some dudes that are using it, and it hasn't been a good start to their season, and we haven't seen results from them, but...
Still got to hit the ball, right?
I mean, yeah, right. You still got to actually get the bat on the ball. And, yeah, I feel like this has all just happened very, very fast. And it went from Saturday to here we are now on Tuesday, like, hit with this whirlwind of torpedo bats and the new world of baseball to come.
I think my first reaction was, and genuine, not in a, like, angry, mad thing. My first reaction was, is it legal?
That was literally the first question.
That was
and it, out of the same.
And not in like, not in like a, is it legal?
Not an FU kind of way, no, but like, so is this a real thing?
Is this legal?
Yeah.
Because my thought was instantly to, and this is where I think it's so fascinating. Like, the bat manufacturer said, it's not the bat. The hitter is still the player swinging the bat. The bat is not juiced, et cetera. And yeah, you say that because you want to sell a product, blah, blah, blah. But I think that comment is a little tone deaf, But I also don't think it's wrong. I think the reality is that you still need to be a good hitter. You still need to know the pitch that's coming and put your swing in the right spot. But that, Jordan, I'm with you. That was my first reaction. Is it legal?
Yeah.
Because baseball has always been one of those things. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. And if you're cheating, don't get caught.
I mean, as far as the speed goes that Joe talks about, I would kind of question, like, why we didn't hear about this a little bit sooner in spring training. Because, like, I feel like the last big advancement in baseball technology that we heard about publicly was the sticky stuff, spider tack, essentially, that pitchers were putting on, you know, and...
Because spider tack wasn't a banned substance.
Not exactly.
It's
not at
like
that point.
Andro in the 90s was not a banned substance.
And
that's
what
McGuire was on.
Exactly.
And he was like, look, I never did anything illegal.
And got it. I mean, I don't want to get too far off track here, but like at that point, you know, looking in a player's locker and seeing that they had it was just a supplement, quote unquote, at the time, that was like taboo. The journalist got, you know, effed over for that one, but it was a slow burn after McGuire was discovered using it. Then a couple of others, you know, kind of were found out to have been using it. And that's the same thing that happened with spider tack until eventually guys were just rotating the ball too fast that it was gone. But this, all of a sudden, it's probably something that I'm not sure it has as big of effect as we want to think. We saw what the Yankees did with it, but because we hadn't heard about it, I'm not sure that it's as big of a difference, but I hope that it can help offenses even up with pitching. I mean, that's kind of my thought on it. Once I found out it was legal, I hope that teams can use it to hit better, to hit for higher averages. So we're not seeing only 11 guys hitting over 300. Honestly, that's where I take it. I'm like, I like this, and I hope that we can see offenses even up a little bit with this pitching.
There's some interesting quotes here from Jazz Chisholm. He said, it doesn't feel like a different bat. I don't know the science of it. I think I still hit the ball the same exit velocity as I always did. It just feels like it gives you a feeling of you have more to work with. You probably don't have more to work with, but it feels like it. Cody Bellinger went on to say he practiced with a torpedo bat last year with the Cubs, but this last weekend was the first time he ever used one. He said, quote, personally, the weight is closer to my hands, so I feel as if it's lighter in a way. For me, that was the biggest benefit. Obviously, the bigger the sweet spot, the bigger the margin for error. So maybe that's probably a big reason why Major League Baseball says, yeah, go for it, because you still have to be a good hitter to use that to your advantage. This isn't going to make Mitch Haniger a 270 hitter, okay? You still have to be a better hitter. Is it going to speed up, you know, Mookie Betts' bat speed a little bit? Yeah, maybe. But he's still got to swing at the right time. And if it does speed up your bat speed, it's still figuring out your timing. I don't think it's one of those things. I don't think it's cheating. And I don't think it's one of those things that pitchers are going to have to adapt to. I think if pitchers think they have to adapt to this, they're in for some trouble, because it's still about location. It's still about fooling the batter. And if you can do that, you'll be just fine.
Well, again, my initial thoughts, like on the whole, is it legal? My initial thoughts that went there, I was just like, dude, of course it's illegal, because there's no way that the Yankees are trying to pull this. Any team is trying to pull this. And without the MLB knowing, because I'm sure that. But also, in the fans' defense, MLB does things with the balls that no one, they don't tell anybody about. So they kind of mess with equipment without anybody caring or knowing. And then they're like, oh, yeah, by the way, we juiced the balls for the
last
time.
And that's the other interesting thing. Like, we got caught juicing the balls, so are we juicing the bats? Yeah. I don't think these are juice bats, unless you cut one down the middle and there's a cork in it or something.
Well, I'm going to give you some, and this is... Again, I don't know if anybody has gone back and tracked every single at bat, and like, because they have the torpedo bat users stats, and it's my understanding that some have used it for every at bat, some have used them for some at bats, right? Like Ellie De La Cruz, he just used it for the first time the other day. So these stats are the users, torpedo bat users. I don't know if they took into the equation of like, hey, here are their full season stats, or again, those singular moments where they used it. But they're saying that the batting average is 273 for torpedo bat users compared to the MLB average of 243 last year. So a big jump there. On base plus slugging, OPS, 856 compared to 711 in the average of last year. And then average exit velocity, 89.9 miles per hour compared to 87.8 miles per hour. So again, this is where I wonder, I'm like, okay, are these just these dudes' stats throughout the season so far? And they have actually looked and seen every at bat is using these bats. But, you know, as far as this sample size and this number, you know, it looks like they are making a difference in players' performance.
And I think one of the biggest things is, remember, baseball's a copycat league. All right. If this is working, guys are going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, when Bryce Harper's like, yeah, me, JT, and Bryson Stott, like, yeah, we got some ordered.
Yep, Mariners ordered some too. Julio, Cal, and Jorge Polanco were all curious about how it feels.
You know, and I feel like a guy like Cal, I don't think torpedo bat's good for him. You know, and I don't know. Obviously, he's a lot smarter, and Edgar, and they're all going to, like, figure out the kind of hitting. But Cal kind of speaks to me like an Aaron Judge, like a Yordan Alvarez. Yordan Alvarez, I don't think, wants a torpedo bat. Bryce Harper 10 years ago doesn't want a torpedo bat. Bryce Harper now might want a torpedo bat. A guy like Frankie Lindor, carbon copy kind of guy that wants a torpedo bat. Cody Bellinger, same sort of thing. Aaron Judge, dude, I need barrel everywhere. I'm trying to mash homers. And I don't think the torpedo bat, the guys that are going to use the torpedo bat and be successful at it are not 35, 45 home run dudes. It's going to be hit for contact, hit for average kind of guys, and get that ball in the sweet spot a little better. Because a home run, again, to use Judge as the example, Judge is a righty, and how many home runs does he hit to right field? That's using the bat. And the torpedo bat is not going to give him that.
Probably turn some of those into outs in that little short porch.
Exactly, because he won't get enough contact
not long
on the
enough,
bat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's no different than, you know, Callaway or Nike or whoever doing a bunch of stuff with golf clubs. I don't think it's that. I think it's just more specified for certain guys.
I'm going to push back a little bit on this because I really do think, like I said, offense is lacking. Hitting is just so far behind pitching right now. And if there's any kind of innovation, which, can you guys remember the last time we had like an innovation for hitters beyond like the pitch tracking thing, which isn't really an innovation. It just gives you it's that technology that allows you to basically simulate any kind of pitcher and the ball moves the exact way that you're going to see. Like, if you want Max Scherzer, you can get Max Scherzer's, you know, pitches dialed in and
it's
practice.
Almost a video game.
Yeah, exactly. It's almost a video game, but you can practice and see kind of what he's going to be like, or very close to what he's going to be like the next time out that you face him. If this is, you know, something that is an option, I feel like a lot of lesser hitters in baseball are going to at least take a look at it. We'll see, obviously, in a couple of months if it's good or not, or if it's going to be a sustainable bat, but I think the offense needs help so bad in Major League Baseball. I'm assuming we're going to see these adopted in mass just to see if we can get more contact on the ball.
If you're Juan Soto, do you need a torpedo bat?
I mean, again, there's part of me where it's like, why not? Why, I mean, do you need it? No, you're already really good. But I mean, again, why the hell not?
I'm watching Cleveland, San Diego right now. Steven Kwan, torpedo bat. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Jose Ramirez, I'm good.
Yeah,
give me the big boy.
I'm just intrigued to see this play out more, get more of a sample size, and, you know, to lament what that texter said and what kind of the some of the technology on this is that it's supposed to help guys that get jammed up. So those guys that, if you look at their hot cold chart, like how many of them are colder on the inside pitches. And is this going to help them hit those inside pitches a little bit better as well? Get better contact, more power.
We'll definitely keep an eye on this throughout the season. I'm sure our great friends over at Baseball Reference will have the stats for us when we need it. So we'll keep an eye on this, and we'll report back. We'll see. I mean, I'd love to see Bryce Harper with a torpedo bat. I'd love to see him fail with a torpedo bat. You're like, I don't know. I don't know if I want this to work or don't want this to work.
I mean, it's just hard to ignore the effect when Ellie De La Cruz turns around and has his best game as a pro time out using it.
But you're also talking about a future superstar of the game.
Exactly. That's
was
a
he,
fair
was
point.
He just on that day, you know?
Yeah, it's not like John Birdie went 5-for-5 with two homers.
Exactly.
But again, like, one of those days, or the day that the Yankees scored 20 runs is Judge Chisholm. He had two of them. And it's like, he's not exactly...
But so did Judge and Goldschmidt like and Belly. Yeah, but Judge and is those a, guys hit home runs,
Judge
though.
Is a... Hits home runs
and
already.
And Jazz's were both shorts to right.
Okay, it's a good point there. You're playing a little league porch
and
there.
Like Volpe's, I think he was 10 of 30 in Oparks and MLB.
Volpe hit one
run.
Today that was exactly. Just over right center.
I do hate those Yankee Stadium cheap home runs, but that's what they live on.
Not if you got Tampa Bay Rays players on your fantasy team, because Steinbrenner Field is built the exact same.
That way. Is a fair point, my friend.
All right, when we come back, would you tarnish your entire career for $45 million? We got the first one of 2025. That's next. Hot Corner, Today the Fan. The Braves are an interesting topic. Obviously, the Dodgers, things like that. The Pirates lost 3 games in a row, all on walk-offs. So we'll in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll take a look around the league, see if anything has popped out to you. Guys that are struggling, I've got the most obvious major candidate for that, guys that are blowing the doors off. Plus, we'll have fair or foul at the bottom of the hour. But let's get into this, guys. I mean, it happens all the time. There's always somebody. You know, we talk about this so frequently. This isn't 2005 anymore. This isn't 1996, okay? When you do things, they have massive repercussions. And he said he was tested 8 times last year and all clean.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the repercussions of eating a pound and a half burrito.
Well, I'm about to find that out tonight because I think I'm going to eat a pound and a half burrito.
You should. Tonight. It's a disgusting it's and, my great, Friday, and great venture.
It's my Friday. I'd like a cheat day and a 2-pound burrito sounds great. But you have basically your comeback player of the year, basically. You have the greatest season of your career. It gets you a 3-year deal for $45 million on a contender, and you test positive. Jurickson Profar is now suspended for 80 games, cannot play in the postseason. The Braves, by Vegas, were picked to win the East. I think I had the Phillies. Did you guys take the Braves? Not that you're wrong. I don't mean that.
I think I took the Braves.
I think you guys took the Braves. I took the Phillies. At least none of us took the Mets.
And then I think Will...
Ortner took the Mets because he doesn't watch baseball, so he just feeds into whatever the national narrative is. Whatever Stephen A. Smith says about baseball,
Phillies,
that's Will Ortner.
For you, Braves for me, Mets for Will slash
Schultz. But you're taking the Braves, though, right, Schultzy?
Will Schultz, Jordan Ortner.
I would have said, after this, probably the Phillies, but if you're going back to before the season, yeah, I would have said.
Yeah, you'd have said. I don't think that's a bad call. I really like their pitching staff, especially if Strider is good. But Jurickson Profar, he's out for 80 games, can't play in the postseason. This is an interesting one. I was talking with some buddies before the show today about this. He was my waiver wire pickup of the year last year in fantasy. He was absolutely unbelievable. He had almost 30 bombs, hit for average on a very good San Diego offense. I loved what he did last year, and I've always loved Jurickson Profar. He was kind of a utility Swiss Army knife kind of guy. He could play left field. He could play second base. You can put him wherever you need, and he kind of put it all together last year. Now he tests positive for steroids, and if you read his statement that he made today, everybody on Reddit already knew what his statement was going to be before he posted it. You know, never would I knowingly put a banned substance in my body, but I respect Major League Baseball's decision, and I will serve my suspension. That sounds like you got busted.
I could have sworn that he said, or his agent or someone said, something along the lines of like, oh yeah, no, I worked out with Fernando Tatis last year and his trainer and really worked on my lower body and core strength.
And he went to the San Diego FC soccer game with Manny Machado.
That's all.
The worst part about this is this whole thing is now I'm wondering, is Manny Machado on the juice?
Ever since
we
he
already
left.
We already know Tatis got busted.
Once he left Baltimore, yeah. Yes, he was clean in Baltimore.
God, I'm sick of these excuses. I hate that they just don't admit it.
I guess the big question, and Jurickson and Profar, you know, it's for us losers that love baseball too much. Yeah, this is like a big story for us. But nobody knows who Jurickson and Profar is. I mean, hell, if Jose Ramirez tested positive for steroids, only us losers would know about it.
I was going to say, baseball dudes know.
Baseball dudes. That's what I mean. I call us losers, but I mean us baseball dudes.
Yeah. Which we're kind of losers in that sense, too.
But I'm curious how this still goes. Like, how are we still here? Would you sacrifice the reputation of yourself in Major League Baseball? Because let's be real. There's a good chance that Jurickson and Profar was probably on these drugs last year, but
possibly
the testing
the
hadn't caught up to him.
He said he got tested eight times last year.
But the drugs are always ahead of the test.
That's how this works.
Always ahead of the test. Always have been, always will be.
I got a fun little nugget for you. He tested positive for human chorionic gonadotropin.
Oh, yeah, that.
Yeah.
I put that in my coffee every morning. Yeah.
According to Wikipedia's list of players that have been busted for steroids.
I like my coffee like I like my women.
There's only been one other player in MLB history that has gotten popped for that.
Only one other player. Okay.
Who would that be?
Let's have some fun here.
Because there's a lot of there's a lot of substances on this list.
Totally. There's like a
lot of different ones.
Yeah. Okay, so only one player has ever been popped for this. Is it an obvious name?
Big or not.
Yes, it's a big name.
It's a big name.
Yes.
Recent, like last decade?
What? Yeah, give me the decade that they played.
It was not in the last decade. It happened in the 2000 to 2010 range.
Oh, shoot.
I'll say he's a big name, but he's a big name to you, Patrick.
Oh, it's Manny Ramirez.
It was like Man Ram, right? He got caught with the estrogen. I was going to say Man Ram
before you said Man Ram.
It was Manny Ramirez when he was with the Dodgers.
Yes,
yeah.
and it was a testosterone reducer.
He was trying to get pregnant with his wife.
Yeah, no, because
he was trying to carry their baby. I mean, he was trying to get her to carry their baby.
So basically, him and Profar were both caught with the drug that these guys take when they are supposedly, allegedly on a steroid cycle to come back down to get their testosterone levels to return to normal. Yes?
Also, Joe, us baseball nerds, Manny Ramirez is the greatest hitter ever to be on steroids.
I mean, yeah, probably.
That guy could hit a baseball.
I mean, Barry Bonds could hit a baseball, too.
I think Manny's a better hitter than baseball.
To answer your earlier question, Patrick, Robinson Cano gave up his reputation for all that cash.
I mean, and I think, you know, Robbie Cano is interesting.
Because, by the way, got popped twice.
Yeah, Robbie Cano's interesting because he was going to get a paycheck no matter what. And now, do we know, was he on the juice before? We don't know that.
No, but I would say yes.
Jurickson Profar, before last season, was a nice little player. Clubhouse guy, you could put him anywhere.
Utility.
Start him, put him on the bench, whatever. Yeah, what's 45 divided by 6? Does anybody know that math?
4.8.
Okay,
like that.
So he's going to lose $4.8 million because you don't get paychecks for the 80 games you sit out.
45 divided by 6?
Yeah.
That's 8.8.
Yeah.
My bad, I did it backwards.
So he's going to lose 8 of that 45, but the rest is guaranteed. Is that something you're worth doing to get that kind of money?
I mean, you go from like Dylan Moore status as an example for the Seattle Mariners, utility player, nice
clubhouse
guy.
Love Dylan Moore. Can play in the outfield, can play in the infield. Yeah. Nice little ball player.
He signed a 2-year, $5 million contract with a $1 million signing bonus. You compare it to Jurickson Profar's $45 million, minus 8. Yeah.
Sign me up.
That's a big...
You want my left or do you want my right? Like, which one are we doing here?
Big check.
Barring postponed games, Profar will be eligible to return June 29th against the Philadelphia Phillies and lose 5.8 of his $12 million salary.
Oh, that's not as bad.
Yeah.
But you can't play in the postseason.
No.
And I'm pretty sure the Braves signed him to play in the postseason.
And I believe
they need outfield help.
And I believe that they're going to be in the postseason.
I believe they're going to be in the postseason too.
We'll see
despite
about that,
what they're doing. Yeah. Speaking of what they're doing right now, let's get into the next hour. Let's talk about some things. I'll open the floor. Text messages, fan text line, 503-864-6326, YouTube channel, whatever you want. What are some initial reactions we have from this first weekend of baseball? That's next. This is the Hot Corner, Portland Sports Leader. Loaded second hour. Don't go anywhere. 10A the Fan.
You're stoked about Spencer Torkelson, huh?
I am stoked about Spencer Torkelson. You snagged him in a fantasy league just for funds?
You're fully torqued.
He is a former number one overall draft pick.
Yeah, who played terribly last year and got called back down. And
that is true.
He stays and keeps us up.
That is true. I've got San Diego Cleveland on my tube. It is 3-0 San Diego. Joe's watching Chicago Cubs and the A's.
Yeah.
You know, something I've noticed.
You had to admit the city name in that, didn't you?
They are the Athletics. That's so what they're stupid. Called. That's what they're called. Not the journalism site, but they are just the Athletics. But as I want to kind of go around the room and say things that we've noticed, like whether they're fun or real or bad or whatever. I watched Rays Pirates today. It's really strange to see Steinbrenner Field as a major league game. Like, just the aesthetics on TV, it doesn't look like a major league ballpark.
Yeah.
And I've turned back to look at this game for you as well, Joe, watching the A's, and it also does, it just seems weird. And I don't know if it's because, like, I can watch this and, you know, I guess the backdrop of Petco looks kind of normal, or the backdrop of T-Mobile, or the backdrop of Chase Field, or Progressive, or, you know, wherever. It looks strange, doesn't it?
The aesthetics of Sutter Health Field doesn't do it for you?
The aesthetics of George Steinbrenner Field doesn't quite do it for me.
Yeah, well, watching this game, it is very bizarre whenever a hit happens and it goes and shows it
happened. That's the one.
I'm just like, there's nothing out there.
I saw a single into right in the Rays game today and was like, what is going on out there?
Yeah, it's very bizarre. I will say that you can see the one bridge that is in Sacramento, like in certain
the
angles.
One bridge they have.
I'm telling you, there is one bridge in that city, like one cool bridge. You know, we're littered with cool bridges here in Portland. So, you know, I'm showing my bias here. We've got like 14 bridges, you know, and
yeah.
Sacramento has a bridge that is cool. But yes, it is bizarre when it does flash to the outfield and shows the stadium, because there's really like no seats in the outfield. It's weird.
It's a weird thing, but buckle up. I mean, that's what it is for the next couple of years. Did you see, I saw yesterday or whatever the A's home debut is, quote unquote, everybody wore Ricky Henderson's number.
Yep.
And they all got introduced, kind of like football, you know. And now, number blah, 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 Luis Severino. And he came running out, and he, like, had the left field open, and behind left field looked like the parking lot. Like, it looked like...
Yes.
It looked like it was Jason Swigard on the PA. And now, Spencer Torkelson from the Daimler Chrysler left field parking lot. That's what it looked like. They were running out from a parking lot.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I saw that yesterday too. And yeah, when they opened up the gate for them to run through,
it was a high school ceremony.
It looked really bad.
Did they just pull into the park, like, and they're stepping off the bus just right out into the field there? Like, very bizarre.
Honestly, I feel like they could have done it up. You don't even have to pay anything. You could probably get people to like donate these cars, but like bring all your team in on some fun cars, you know, like drop them off that way. Like the way that they did it was just so bush league.
I'm telling you, man, Sacramento has a cool bridge. That is it. I'm looking at it right now. Like they have the Sacramento River cutting right through town, big ass river, and they have three total bridges to help with that thing, and only one of them is cool looking.
Light the beam, baby.
Step your game up, Sacramento.
We'll come back next segment, and I'll open up to the floor, but since we're already up against it, I'll just throw out the major obvious one. We laughed about it last segment about Nestor Cortez and his really bad, you know, season debut going back to the Bronx and throwing three pitches, and the season is over. Raise your hand if you're concerned about Raffy Devers.
Oh, buddy. We were throwing out.
That's the,
I watch my Mariners haters do this all the time, so my just I think it's
you're kind of numb to it.
Like,
Joe,
you know what? You'll be all right, Raffy.
You're a little 50-50.
I
am very concerned.
Bossman Cooley was throwing out some conspiracy theories today.
Well, he's worried that's the best player on his team.
That he was saying that Rafael Devers is purposely sabotaging himself because he is not the starting third baseman.
That contract is untradeable if you're 0-for-19 with 15 strikeouts.
Well, that may be he's either hoping to get traded because he sucks so bad, or he's doing, he's like, you know, I just don't feel comfortable, and, you know, I'm not in my regular routine of playing baseball. You know, maybe if I just played third base.
Do you know that he has the record for most strikeouts for the first through the first three games of the season?
That's not Julio Rodriguez, I'm sure.
And the fourth.
Wow.
And the fifth.
Yeah, he struck out three times against my Orioles yesterday.
He had two walks, though.
Hey, get that OBP up, baby.
That's the start of something.
By the way,
go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, in 1995, Tony Gwynn had 15 strikeouts total in 585 at-bats.
Well, yeah, he's the best hitter of all time.
Raffy Devers makes over $20 million a year. This is concerning for me. I was talking about it. One thing, now, I don't like Alex Cora because clearly he was at the core of trash cans down a hallway to the clubhouse to win a World Series in Houston. But one thing I will give Alex Cora a ton of credit for, he's a clubhouse guy. He knows how to get players to gel. The fact that Raffy Devers came out and said, I'm the third baseman, and 3 days later said, I'll do whatever the team needs me to do, that's on Cora. And that's a huge thing for Cora. There is no way you could start Devers at third and not Bregman. And he made it happen in 72 hours. I will give him a ton of credit for that. However, Devers hitting right now, this is alarming. And the Red Sox, who have very high hopes, the second Gerrit Cole goes down, everybody's thinking, is it the Red Sox? Not if you're doing this.
Someone went as far back as his games last year.
Nice.
And they looked at his
games. I'm here for it. I'm petty AF, dude. I'm here for it.
The last games he played last year were September 17th through 20th. So I guess, you know.
And they shut him down for the last week or something.
Sure.
Yeah.
So most strikeouts in a 9-game span in MLB history.
Last year.
1-for-34 in those 9 games with 26 strikeouts.
So Bossman Cooley needs to check his stuff because it sounds like Raffy Devers is bad at baseball.
Yeah, and as you said, has an untradeable contract and has $7.5 million deferred from 2034 to 2043.
I mean, 2 years ago, he was the dude. He was the guy. When they had to trade Betts because he didn't want to re-sign. Xander walked. And then they're rebuilding with kids. And their farm system's fantastic.
And hey,
the kids they got coming are going to be absolutely phenomenal.
And this is what
but he was supposed to be the dude to be the centerpiece.
This is what we do always week one, like clockwork of MLB season, as we overreact. So we'll see if he's able to turn around. It's unfortunate he's not going to be able to face Gerrit Cole this season because
he loves Gerrit
Cole. That would turn it around for him. But again, I mean, we'll see what happens on and continues on with this season because ugly, ugly, terrible start for him.
All right, we come back. We'll open up the floor. Things we like, things we don't like, just things for fun. We'll do all that next. That's Joe Fisher next to me. I'm Patrick Harris. This is the Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan. On the mound for the Tribe right now. I was just telling Joe in the break, I like Sewald in our bullpen. I like it. I don't want him as my closer. But, you know, we got Gattis, Smith, and Classe, but Sewald's a good, nice little pickup.
And then I volleyed back to you by saying that I loved seeing Mark Leader give up a grand slam for the Yankees to lose today.
You know, something that I really
if they can blow the game before Devin Williams gets out there, that'd be fantastic. That would really be beneficial to me.
Schultzy, who is the Mariners play-by-play guy that used to do stuff for Riz, but now he's got Dave Sims' job? He's the TV guy.
Aaron Goldsmith.
Aaron Goldsmith.
Goldie. Yeah.
Great. Great. Great commentator. He is
definitely better than Dave Sims.
He's hopefully going to be your TV guy for the next 30 years. I love him. I think he's fantastic. About 3 years ago, two, 3 years ago, I'm driving home from Seattle. Mariners are in a playoff push, and it's like extra innings, and Suarez goes deep to walk off. And the call was like,
I think I know what you're thinking.
The call
of.
Was, and the pitch to Suarez. And that's a big drive. Hey, yo,
Hideo. Yep.
Can you, if when you ever got some free time, you don't have to do it now, but I would love that drop. I would absolutely love that drop.
I don't think Schultzy would like that drop anymore.
So if you could,
it hurts.
If you could find that, that'd be great.
I know why you want
Schultzy's
it.
Schultzy's like, yeah, I'll be right on it. Yeah.
And that's where we'll start this. I'm going to open the room to you guys, but I'll go first. Eugenio Suarez, like the Diamondbacks, they added a lot. They made a lot of moves. Corbin Burns, Josh Naylor's. They've done things to kind of get back to the World Series they were in 2 years ago.
They have two Corbins. I just realized.
Corbin Burns and Corbin Carroll.
I mean, that's got to be the only Corbins in the league.
It's been a Reddit joke. Like, they signed Corbin Burnson, and they signed, like, all these different... It was a big Reddit joke for a while in the offseason.
Missed those posts.
But they made some moves, and Eugenio Suarez right now is absolutely hitting out of his mind. That's one thing that I've noticed so far in our, like, 8 days, 6 days... of baseball that has stood out to me. Joe, is there anything for you?
Obviously my bias has been watching the Orioles.
Boy,
and
that offense is good.
My boy Cedric Mullins. I like what I've seen out of him so far. I mean, I've liked what I've seen out of the offense, and that wasn't the worry to enter the season. It was the starting pitching. But we talked about it during the break a little bit ago. Kyle Tucker, man. What a start. And he's got a homer tonight.
Got a homer tonight.
I love it. I love it, dude. I love a redemption story. I love the redemption arc. And he is going to, if he keeps this up, which no reason to believe he won't, he's going to make himself a lot of money.
Yeah. Does he play right field and Judge DH? Like, what do they do in New York with Kyle Tucker?
Stop. Don't even speak that into existence.
Schultzy, anything stand out to you so far? Save your Mariners.
No,
we'll save the Mariners. We'll get into the Mariners at 8:45. But is there anything otherwise baseball that has stood out to you, good or bad?
Actually, I believe the shortening further of the pitch clock, it is down now. I don't know if you noticed this. I saw it on opening day. I believe it's 15 seconds.
Oh, wow.
In MLB for runners not on base, and down to, it would be 18 seconds because it's a 3 second difference between runners on and runners not on. So now 18 instead of 20. So they literally shrank 2 more seconds off the pitch clock. I actually don't like that. I think that we had it at 20 and 17 or 20 and 18 or whatever it was. I wish that there wasn't as quick of a gap between hitters, because I feel like, I mean, this was just me not just at the stadium noticing that I couldn't get a beer, you know, in quicker than an inning. That kind of sucked. But watching on TV, it seemed to go a little quick. And I'm down with a baseball game and, you know, 2.5 hours, but a 2 hour baseball game, that's a little too short. I need to savor it just a bit more. So,
right, this isn't soccer. Yeah. Like, we love soccer because they're 2 hour games, but baseball, we're trying to chill. We're trying to hang out.
It's a hangout.
Yeah,
it's a drinking
time. Maybe
I take
a nap through the third, fourth,
exactly.
and fifth inning.
Exactly.
Am I crazy? And maybe this is like a state to state, ballpark to ballpark thing. The guys, beer, cold, ice cold beer. Like, they're not doing that at T-Mobile Park? Is it only food that
I was in the slang out there? I was in the club level, and then I was also looking for the... So they don't have people walking around. But
that hot producer money over there. Yeah.
But I was also looking for the... Speaking of my hot producer money, the value $5 Miller High Life beers. Yeah. So, no, I didn't... I wanted to spend money on the tickets, but not the food in the stadium. And it was just a struggle to get my $5 beers without missing 6 hitters. So.
Ice cold Rainier, as cold as the Rainier Mountain.
Some negative things that I've come across. I think they're going to be great. I'm not too worried about it. But boy, the Braves offense looks rough.
What? Yeah, whatever.
It looks rough. I mean, they got dude after dude.
I'm saying this because they're my division winner.
No, they got dude after dude after dude. And yeah, it sucks to play the Padres and then go to the Dodgers. Like, that's not a fun way to start the year. But Matt Olson had a bad year last year. Albies was hurt last year. Acuna obviously out all year. Harris dealt with some injuries. My cousin Riley was really the only shining spot in that offense last year. They're all healthy, and they're off to a very, very slow start. And I do think they're a playoff team. I'm not worried about them. I think they will go to the playoffs. Joe, I don't think you picking them to win the division is a bad call. I think they still can do that. But this is how you win and lose divisions. It's these games in the beginning of the year. You know, in the dog days of summer, it's like letting four or five games slip. This is what can cost you a division. And I'm a little worried about the Braves offense. I'm a little worried about it.
It's been ugly to start. I mean, they have scored, I think outside of the Pirates, maybe the least amount of runs to start the season in the National League. It has not been good. I mean, Michael Harris, 143, Austin Riley, 100. These are batting averages. Matt Olson, 125. Ozuna, 231. Albies,
sounds like the Mariners.
150. You said it, not me. But it's been tough. I mean, Schwellenbach did look good on the mound the other day.
That's my boy.
Maybe it's just some of these guys are coming back from injury. They still have some bad tendencies to work out. They're up 1-0 on the Dodgers right now, so clearly the hitting is not improved overnight. They have one hit, but the Dodgers have one hit. So, I mean, pitching so far has been their strength. Chris Sale, it's been great tonight so far. Been great to start the season, but yeah, the bats need to start clicking in Atlanta.
Anything else you got, Joe, from a negative aspect? Anything you're worried about that you've seen so far?
Man, I was pulling up batters today that have zero hits because the Devers talk was obviously right. the big one, but guys with at least...
Gunnar Henderson has zero hits.
Yeah, man, he sucks.
He also has zero plate appearances, but I'm worried about him.
See, and that's when I get me just real hot is that the Orioles offense is looking good and my boy Gunner is not hasn't even played yet.
I know, that's scary.
Love it.
So scary.
But as far as some guys that have had double digit at bats to start the season and zero hits, one of these should not surprise you. It's the first one on this list.
Javi Baez.
No, it is Chris Bryant.
Good Lord.
Man, you know, sometimes I get real excited when that name comes up. I'm like, Chris Bryant? That guy's so right.
Yeah, man, that want to talk about a dude that was just on top of the world back in 2016.
Rookie of the Year, MVP, World Series.
It has just been
traded to the Giants, played really well for the Giants when he got traded. Took weird money to go to Colorado, but we were like, well, he'll rake in that stadium, and then died.
Yeah. Wilson Contreras, 0 for 19.
Yeah. Did you see him eating his batting tape the other day?
I did see that.
Yeah. He, like, clearly to rip it off, and it, like, dude, you could have thrown that aside, but he was like, no, I'll just throw it in my mouth.
Munch on it.
He needs to be tested. There might be some substances in that tape.
Yeah, he has fallen really hard.
Trade to St. Louis, man, it sucks.
He seemed to be their new Yachty, their new staple of that team, and boy, it's rough.
Yeah. 0 for 17, Carlos Correa.
Look, we're about to have a wake for the Minnesota Twins. They won today, but they do not look good. Death, taxes, and Royce Lewis is hurt, so we got that going for us. Carlos Correa, look, outside of Kyle Tucker, have the Astros been right about letting every player go? Springer had that first good year in Toronto, but since then has been garbage. Correa, the Giants, whoa, bullet dodged.
I mean, the only one that they've been wrong on is Kyle Tucker.
Yeah, and Bregman great. Will probably rake this year.
You see Bregman just absolutely smash his face on the ground yesterday and then commit an error immediately after that because he was probably concussed. But, dude, it was like it was full face slam right into the dirt. I was like, oh, dude.
Couldn't happen to a better guy.
Ran the schnoz.
I still don't get the Jose Altuve and left thing. Like, did he immediately overnight become a bad fielding second baseman?
I don't get it either. I think it's because they want to try some young kids at second base.
That's dumb. You usually put I remember way back when Lloyd McClendon got a bunch of crap for putting former second baseman Dustin Ackley in left field as Dustin Ackley
that
was kind of
teetering
down.
That turned out to be his position.
Well, yeah, did you hear, if you remember the answer that Lloyd McClendon gave as to why he was doing it, because that's where I want him, which usually means he's not a very good defender and we're putting him out there because left field is always forgotten about. It is just astounding to me that isn't Altuve, a former Gold Glove winner at second base? Am I making that one up?
Yordan Alvarez played left field today. I think, as Joe, I love that you bring up Carlos Correa. I think as we talk about, you know, knee-jerk reactions about what's going on in the season, it's just been six or seven games, whatever. What we've seen over the last few days of teams that had the potential to be contenders, the Twins are alarming already out of the gate.
Yeah,
Billy Aubert got... that was close. Billy Aubert got lit the other day. He got lit so bad, I almost needed a dumb button. He got lit the other night. Correa is bad. Royce Lewis is hurt. I don't know what Buxton is doing, but it can't be good. And you're getting smoked by the White Sox. The White Sox are going to win 50 games, and you just gave them three. If there's a team to be worried about out of the gates, and we'll talk about the Mariners at some point, if there's a team to be worried about out of the gates, I think it's the Minnesota Twins.
Yeah, they've scored the second least amount of runs in the American League to start the year.
And I got an $80 payout at ALNA for the Tribe winning that division, looking pretty good right now.
The two teams that have scored the least amount of runs this season are the Houston Astros and the Atlanta Braves.
But you know, we're not giving up on the Astros. That's death by a thousand
I'm
cuts.
Sure as hell not.
We'll wait and see how it goes. They still got some guys. We'll see what their kids do.
But yeah, I mean, as far as other players that have started Ofer, I mean, there's some guys, you know, not as big of names, but I mean, San Francisco's Lamonte Wade, Mason Wynn, and St. Louis. Those are a couple others. Some dudes that have started slow. Yordan Alvarez, as you well know, Patrick, 1-16 to start the year.
Not good, not good. Staple of my fantasy team.
Let's see. I mean, not that many at-bats, only 10. Jake McCarthy, 0-10. Danny Jansen, 0-12. But, yeah, those are some dudes that have not gotten a hit this year so far. But, I mean, Bregman also has not started off too hot hitting the ball either. I just looked up 5-22. So, I mean, really, Kyle Tucker is the only, you know,
new face and new place kind of guy
from the Astros. Yeah, that is actually doing something, which go figure. Big shocker there, folks. Francisco Lindor, 1-15.
Hey, don't you talk about Frankie that way.
Hey, I'm just saying. Just saying.
All right, that is. We'll keep those going over the next few weeks as the baseball season keeps getting into full swing. But when we come back, we'll get into Fair or Foul, everybody's favorite. But first, we'll throw it to Schultzy with sports.
Is it fair or is it foul?
Fastball tapped at the plate. It'll trickle down the third baseline. The Mariners are going to let it roll, 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 roll.
A knowledge test to see how well they know the big leagues.
Lenny Randle gets down on his hands and knees and blows on it like a curler, and it goes foul.
And what our distinguished hosts think about the stories that popped up around the big leagues.
But he got down on his hands and knees and literally blew the ball across the foul line.
This is Fair or Foul on the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we're already up against it, so without further ado, we'll throw this over to our fantastic producer, the man on the ones, the man on the twos, hardest working man at 1080 The Fan, Jordan Schultz.
All right, guys, let's start off pretty easy. Torpedo bats, they're the biggest topic in Major League Baseball in the last week. The New York Yankees setting the world on fire, hitting 9 home runs in one game. Multiple
hitters. This is on fire.
Thank you. Thank you,
Kyle
Alicia.
Kyle Tucker hit a double.
Yeah, sorry. I don't know why I didn't say that into the mic, but I was trying to get Patrick's attention.
Fantasy.
There you go. By the way, Mariners now down 4-1. Green hit his second homer this season right after my update. So,
by the way, if you're listening to this and you're in my fantasy league, Yordan Alvarez is for sale. Great player.
There we go.
Wonderful player.
Yeah.
You should have him.
Expensive.
Knees, not a problem.
Expensive, though.
No, we don't overreact Houston, after the first week of baseball.
Well, speaking of overreacting, those torpedo bats that the Yankees, not all of their hitters using, but some of their hitters using in that 9-home run onslaught against the Milwaukee Brewers. setting the world on fire before we found out some other players were using these torpedo bats under the radar. The Mariners have ordered them. The Phillies have ordered them. They have been deemed legal by Major League Baseball, guys. Fair or foul, torpedo bats will help hitters even it back up with MLB pitchers.
Since Patrick is messing with the drop board, I'll take this, I guess. I say fair. I think any advantage that you can give hitters right now, give it to them, because pitchers have just become disgusting. We've seen the batting average across the league start to fall every single year over the last decade. I was seeing this video over the offseason, and it was like the 2001, 2002, I don't know what year, the All-Star game. And it was showing each player that was coming up to bat and their stat line so far in the season. It was insane. Like, dudes were batting, like, every guy was batting 340, and every guy already had 30 home runs on the season. Again, whatever you can do to help batters and help baseball score more runs, have more offense, and still have the game wrap up in 2 hours and 15, 2 hours and 30 at most, do it. I'm cool with it. And fair, it will help even things up.
Yeah, I'm with Joe on this. I'm fair too. Again, is it in the rules? Are we following rules?
Yes.
It's all I care about. If we're following rules, I'm into that. If baseball wants to change the rules, we'll have that discussion then. But I'm with Joe. My only hesitation is, this is what I was concerned about the pitch clock, larger bags, baseball trying to create offense, but also trying to speed up the game. The more offense, the longer the game takes, okay? The more offense means more pitching changes, means longer innings, etc. But that was proven wrong to me, and I had to eat that crow. If the torpedo bat can create more offense and not slow the game down, 100%. I'm down. Because like I said in the first hour, it's a copycat league. It's not just like only the Yankees can use this. Everyone can use it. If it makes the game better, I'm pro.
Yeah, me too. I don't want to see a good batting average like being deemed like 240 anymore. Like, a 240 hitter is an okay hitter in baseball right now.
Yeah, but like sucks. Joe, but like Joe said 10 years ago, 240 is, get out of here.
Yeah, you were getting putting a dump tick.
We used to make the joke 275. That's an okay. Okay.
Well, you're all right. Yeah.
And now 275, I'll sign up for that every day.
Take 1 through 9. Yeah. All right, let's move on. Second fair or foul. This is actually pretty cool. Not necessarily related to MLB, but sports in general, and I think MLB could apply this concept, and I wanted to ask you all about this. Juicy story from ESPN, guys. Coastal Carolina University, they have done something for the first time in, I think, any sporting events history. Like, so when you go to a live game at Coastal Carolina, they're kind of known because they're one of the handful of teams in college football that has that, like, colored turf. They have
yeah,
a teal.
Like the sea green.
Yeah, it's like teal or sea green or whatever. Obviously, Boise State has their blue, and Eastern Washington has their red. So Coastal Carolina, already known for that.
In the Northwest, what?
But guys, they are implementing a Feast for Free program. Says that the heartbeat of their fans in Teal Nation need a reward, and they're looking for ways to elevate their game day experience. So basically, fans that go to these games at Coastal Carolina will be able to select up to 4 items at a concession stand visit from a menu of hot dogs, nachos, popcorn, and fountain drinks, and choose those 4 and then go back up as many times as they want with no cost. Free concessions on the simple stuff. Does not apply to alcohol. Does not apply to, like, the third-party vendors doing the fancy, you know, baby-sized burritos or anything that you can get that's, like, 2 feet long that we see. Like
the size of a baby or for a baby?
Exactly. What are we doing, Joe?
Size of an infant.
But there are no 2 feet, you know, long hot dogs in this deal, but 4 items per concession stand visit for free throughout the game over and over and over again. Guys, I love that plan. It's a great way, I think, to reward sports fans. Fair or foul, MLB attendance would shoot through the roof if they copied Coastal Carolina.
Absolutely. I saw something the other day. It was, you know, like, I'm a big Reddit user, and there's a lot of like stats and things that fly around about like the most affordable ballparks,
yeah,
in terms of concessions and things like that. And one of them was, I can't remember exactly the team, but it was a team like the Dodgers, that it was like a hot dog was $4. You're like, a Dodger Stadium?
Four?
You sure that's
almost free?
You sure that's not $8? Right? Like, you know, you're an evil empire. You got, you know, you spend $1 billion on three players. That, yeah, that hot dog's going to cost you $15. I think it's absolutely the truth. We see this in the NBA. I think the NBA would actually benefit from
all
it the most.
All sports would, frankly. You, okay, more than baseball.
Football is the only one that probably wouldn't, because it's once a week and you only have half your games at home. But baseball, if you can, that's why they have those deals. If you can have a deal where I can take, I got three kids, all right? The average person has two kids. Joe to my left has one kid, okay? So we're both, like, together we meet the average, but we are not the same. If you can tell me that I could get outfield bleacher seats, five hot dogs, five sodas, and five popcorns, and I can get out of there under $60, I'd go twice a month. I'd go 10 times a year. Without a doubt. The problem is as my friends at Wu-Tang used to say, capitalism rules everything around me.
What's funny about this is so Coastal Carolina, this is for football.
Yes, yeah, they are the first football team, and I once again believe the first sports team ever to make some of their concessions.
And they're kind of a decent football program.
And they're not horrible.
Like, they made noise over the last few years.
But what I was going to say is that, like, they're doing it for their football games. Remember when the Atlanta Falcons said that they're going to drastically reduce the prices at Mercedes-Benz Stadium for concessions? Yeah, maybe.
And T-Mobile's already done that too.
And so maybe sports, where they're like, man, we really want more people to come to our games, like baseball, basketball. I mean, like the ones that aren't football, which absolutely run this country. Maybe they should take note that this catches attention in Falcons fans and probably what are they, the Chanticleers?
Yes.
Over in Coastal Carolina, that they're going to show
nice
up more and more.
Sexy pull, Joe.
Well, you've
never looked hotter than right now.
The Saint Chanticleers.
Oh, dude, and you said it off the cuff. I love it.
Well, I definitely looked hotter last night eating an infant-sized burrito. I will tell you that much.
I'd had sex with you.
But yeah, I think that baseball teams should take note because, yeah, if you want people to come to the park and come spend money on not just the game, but merchandise.
Oh, I'd buy
there.
So
I mean,
much more.
Oh, I'd buy something every time I got there.
Are you serious?
Checkmate, man.
Just give me a pile of nachos with cheese on it. And
I'd buy a jersey every game
that
I went to.
Yeah.
It'd be like the sixth inning, and John Birdie went 2 for 2, and I'm like, I'm going to get a Birdie jersey.
Also, I'm not going to explain the whole thing, but if you did not see what happened between Kentucky and Texas A&M baseball the other day, go and look it up, because it's some of the most Bush League stuff you've ever seen.
Were you snorting lines off the third base?
No,
what?
That would have been great.
No, I did see that. It is pretty damn Bush League.
There's rules about games on Sunday, and if they go past a certain time.
Oh, I can't handle this Jesus stuff.
It's not Jesus stuff. It's SEC country.
Sorry,
baby.
You say time and Sunday, and I'm like, oh my God, this is a Jesus thing.
No, and to make it as quick as possible, basically there's SEC rules about, like, if a game goes beyond a certain time, then they have to call the game because of
if
school the
difference.
Next day and travel.
Yeah.
And so if it's a Sunday night game, they
somebody think of the student athlete.
And so I think it was Kentucky, basically, like, they did a mound visit and the pitcher, like, took forever. And once it got past 8:30 and they got the final out in the eighth inning, they called the game and Kentucky won. And the Texas A&M coach was not happy about it at all. It was a very Bush League move.
It was. No, yeah. College baseball, they got to stop that crap. It just makes it
they still play with metal bats in college baseball?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't care.
No, it's pretty useless, actually. I think the Ducks scored 34 runs in one game earlier this season.
Yeah,
it was
just good offense. That has nothing to do with the bats.
Really? Are
innovative.
You sure it's not innovative. High school level pitchers?
Nice recruiting.
Yeah. Great. Yeah, there's just so many talented baseball players out there. No, there's a lot of crappy ones facing each
Oregon
other.
Oregon fan Jordan Schultz crapping all over the Ducks.
I love my Ducks, but college baseball in general, a lot to be desired. Not a watchable product. All right, guys, let's wrap it up with this one quickly. Fair or foul, Dodgers, Yankees, both been really dang good to start the season. They're going to end up in the World Series facing each other. Pretty simple. Fair or foul.
I'll start with this one. I'm going to go with foul. I don't love this Yankee team. I think this offense has been a little more surprising than I expected at the beginning of the year, but I think they got massive starter issues. You saw it tonight. I really don't love that bullpen outside of Devin Williams. They clearly have lost faith in Luke Weaver. He's not even the setup guy. And they kind of had Arizona in the beginning of the game today. I know it was small sample size, but they had Arizona good to go in the game today. Arizona's got a good lineup. And the second they put Mark Leiter in there, Eugenio, and you're done. And I worry that they run into that. Dodgers, oh, yeah, baby. Oh, yeah, baby.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think that their biggest issue is going to be getting to Devin Williams.
Yep. And just Garrett Cole being gone is, as much as I hate Garrett Cole, as much as we like to rag on it, that's a huge loss.
Yeah. So I'm going to go say foul because I am all in on Orioles fever now, baby.
I think the team that has impressed me the most in the American League right now is the Baltimore Orioles.
But I'm pretty sure...
That offense is such a juggernaut.
I'm pretty sure I did have the Rangers going to the World Series, though, now that I think about it.
And that's fine. Eovaldi threw the first complete game today. And the Rangers are going to be good. But I have to believe Baltimore's depth in talent in the minor league system and the major league system, they're going to fix it. They have to fix it. Go get Sandy.
And watching them the other day, it's like, I love anybody that's in an Orioles jersey, but we have a lot of dudes in an Orioles jersey on the offensive side where it's like...
Gunner's not even there yet.
Yeah, there's this part of me, I'm like, dude, if you throw a deal with, like, Heston Kerstad and Ryan Mountcastle and then, like, Kobe Mayo, one of our top prospects, you package those three in a deal, someone's biting on that. It's like, yeah, okay, we'll definitely take those three. Yeah, something happened, I hope. Please get another arm, Orioles.
All right, that is Pharaoh Foul. We do it every single Tuesday at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. When we come back, we'll wrap this bad boy up. Hot corner, 10 A the Fan. Not a good start from Logan Gilbert tonight.
Well, he did strike out 10.
He had 10 Ks tonight?
Yeah. He did. Honestly.
He gave up three earned, like, right away.
Three earned ain't that bad.
No, but when you're on the Mariners, that's like 20. But generally, five innings pitched, three earned runs, 10 strikeouts on 92 pitches. Yeah, that's a pretty good night.
Guys, I'm going to pull up the Mariner box score.
It was three runs early. I don't think they all came in the first, but it was like three runs early enough to where it's like, oh, this might not be Logan's night. And then he goes on to strike out 10, which you're right, Schultzy. Three runs for the Mariners is.
That's all we got. One damn hit.
You can't say damn on the air.
Don't worry. Nobody's listening anyway.
See, you got one hit and it's Victor Robles?
Yeah. Yep. See, what's funny, when you look at the box score and you see like, oh, one run, one hit, who homered? It's like, oh, no one. They got a sack fly for the run scored. And yeah,
thanks, Rowdy Tellez.
Yeah.
At least they got a run on a sack fly. I'm pretty sure.
Rosarena was on base. He took a walk.
I'm trying to be the...
Hey, there's four walks in this game. Hey, that's a good eye.
Yeah, how many strikeouts do they got so far, though?
That'd be 70.
I'm very much trying to be the one person tonight that is very like, hey, it's the first week. But there are some teams and some performances out there so far to start the season that really make you go, yikes, this is not good.
I said the Twins. Yeah. I'm really concerned about that.
Again, the Devers start is just like,
Devers
boy.
Is absolutely disastrous.
But this Mariners offense start, again, this does not leave you with a lot of confidence that this is going to be a drastic change in difference from what we saw last
year. I think one
year.
Of the hardest things... With this, with what you're talking about, Joe, is we've seen this over the last few years, not just on this show, as, you know, as a little Mariner focused, as they are the semi-local team, you know, we do like to check in on them. But you hear it from the national pundits, and you just have to have ever watched a baseball game to see this Mariner team struggle offensively. Okay, we've talked about it ad nauseum for years, all right? Big thing over the off. Remember, I mean, Randy Arozarena has been the greatest shot in the arm to the Mariner offense since Cal Raleigh and Julio Rodriguez were born. But to watch it again happen, I watched the other night when Randy Arozarena hit that bomb to go up, you know, and he already has the bat throw of the year.
Oh yeah.
I watched that game, and he hit that, and I was so excited to see it, and I went, Oh, no. This is it. This is going to be it. And you can already tell. To know something is going to happen is one thing. To have to watch it happen in real time is another. The Steam's not very good.
They're striking out a lot. First series, four games against a very very mediocre pitching staff.
Edgar Renteria.
41 freaking strikeouts,
look,
guys.
Edgar Martinez could be a fantastic hitting coach. But if you can't hit to begin with, I can't teach you to hit. It's like the NBA. Dame, you're a wonderful player. I can't teach you to play defense if you don't know how to play defense.
Yeah, they currently lead the American League in strikeouts.
Of course they do.
57.
Yeah.
Two more. This does not equate today's action,
yeah.
Which actually the Red Sox didn't play today. So I think the Mariners, unfortunately.
Get a little lucky on that one.
And the next closest team besides the Red Sox is the Tigers, who definitely have not struck
not
out as much.
Not striking out today.
Yeah. As far as average goes, let me take a peek here. Baltimore Orioles, oh, look at that. They have the best average in baseball. And then the worst average in the American League, the Seattle Mariners at 169.
I have to dispel this. Our friend Eric here on the YouTube chat, I think it comes down to the stadium. I think they hit better on the road. No. Singles, doubles, triples, everything outside of home runs you can do in every stadium in baseball.
Yeah.
You do not have to be a home run juggernaut to win games.
They've had almost
no doubles.
You
have to hit balls where people aren't. And yes, they're not sitting in the stands with the fans, but they're also not in center left. They're also not in center right. They're also not up through the middle, and they're not in between the gaps in the infield. Hitting is hitting. I understand that T-Mobile is not a hitter-friendly park, but put contact on the ball. Move guys over. If Terry Francona is in Seattle, he's winning 90 games.
They batted .234 on the road last year and .707.
Yeah.
And granted, you know, the
better
stats
at home,
were,
but still.
At home, they were .214 and look, their OPS was .666, which that is definitely an omen right there.
I want the Mariners to be good for this baseball show. I want the Mariners to be good for me as a baseball fan. I want the Mariners to be good for me as somebody who lives 3.5 hours from a stadium. But look, the hitters, they're just not good.